At the top of the outline that I sent you this evening is the same material that was at the top of last week's. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably repeat that, or maybe I'll drop it and put it at the end, because it's helpful to know when you move from one section to another,
yes.
When you move from one part of the outline to another. Mm-hmm. I remember the significance in 1 Corinthians, where Paul has a parenthetical remark that runs from chapter 6, verse 7, was it, all the way to 9,
yeah.
And it was kind of handy to recognize that for what it is. And I gave you last time the 4 points that are presented by Williams in the Student's Commentary. Now, the Student's Commentary by George Williams, you've never heard of. Why do you suppose you've never heard of it? Because it's dispensationally oriented. And he's not King James by any imagination. He's not as profoundly dispensational as you might like him to be, but he's awfully, awfully good.
Yes.
Compared to any other kind of commentary that you can buy, the Student's Commentary by George Williams. The fact that you've never heard of him probably proves that it's a pretty good book.
Yeah.
because what you hear of anymore is pretty much junk.
Yeah.
I think it's about an $80 commentary now because of its failure to be a seller. But I gave you his breakdown of things to take from the book of Philippians, the believer's purpose, the believer's pattern, prize, and provision.
Mm-hmm.
My list of key verses differ on 3 and 4. I agree with him on Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when we come to a marvelous book such as Philippians, it's a good thing if we allow it to help us gain an understanding of who we should be in Christ Jesus. I know who we are judicially. I know who we are by imputation. I have a lot of trouble sometimes, and maybe you don't, but I do, acting that out. The old expression, play the man.
Yeah.
So sometimes I don't live up to who God would have me to be, and that's a failing on my part. I should know better. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 tells me I should have this mind which was also in Christ. Now, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That is a willingness to die for other people when they hate you and don't understand what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like what you signed up for?
No.
I mean, it's hard. It's a difficult thing to even consider. But I'm supposed to let that mind get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one I have in third place, in chapter 3, is that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Now, it seems to me that's a good choice of a key verse for chapter 3, because it speaks to this issue of being crucified, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It speaks to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, my life being hid. It speaks to raising the bar and looking for more. It wouldn't be anything that I could conjure. It has to be God's Word working effectually. It has to be His mind that I'm embracing. And then when Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Obviously, the all things are in the context of verse 12. He can abound. He can be abased. So he's not saying I can play in the traffic and not get run over. That's not what verse 13 is saying. Verse 13 is saying, whatever happens, I'm good with that. Wow, how counterintuitive to us is that mentality?
Yeah.
Why, we are so oriented toward doing everything we can to create a life of comfort and ease, as much opulence as is possible, and as much self-gratification as is possible. We don't think that way.
No, we don't.
We don't think of rejoicing when the wheels fall off. We don't think of rejoicing when everything falls apart. That's the point of Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He can be abased. Abased. See the basement in there? See, you're down to the basest elements. Where's the next meal going to come from? What about shelter? the basis elements. He says he can be abased. He can be in that condition and yet still find the wherewithal to be content. So what I need to pick up as I go through this book, and we will go through it verse by verse and word by word, what I need to keep a focus upon as we go through this is to recognize the importance of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Carol and I have a deal. She gets to die first.
Amen.
That means I have to take all her junk to the Goodwill.
That's right.
Instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand her motivation. And I don't like it very much, but I understand. But the idea for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I understand that to die is gain part better than I understand to live is Christ. I realize that the older I get, the more stuff doesn't work or works poorly on this old shell that I'm walking around in. I mean, you add the bald head and the tinnitus and you know, my plantar fasciitis is acting up, and I got a hip that hurts, and I did a little yard work, and you'd have thought I built the pyramid single-handed. That seems to be increasing exponentially as I get older.
Yeah.
My vision was always 2200. Now you add macular degeneration.
Yeah.
That ain't pretty. So just thing after thing after thing, my, I'm headed for a hole in the ground. So I understand to die is gain. The part I have trouble getting my head around is for me to live, I'm still living. I'm still here. For me to live is Christ. Now, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 25, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy. Paul uses that word often in Philippians, your joy of faith. To live is Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 tells me that my life is hid with God in Christ. Galatians 2:20, it's His life, not mine. I need to understand that the reason I'm engaged, the reason I'm breathing and still able, as long as I'm able, is for the furtherance of other people's joy and salvation and faith and understanding. I'm here to be a tool, a catalyst, a backstop, a source, many things for different people. Not everybody has the same need, but my job is to further them. Wow. We don't start out that way, do we? Work hard and get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Climb the ladder of success. And if you have to walk across the backs of some other people to get to the corner office, you do it. That's kind of our societal way of doing things. When I was managing a Kroger store in Toledo, or Port Clinton actually, and Point Place, my district manager came in. The store was sharp. I said, welcome to the best looking Kroger store in the Toledo division. I shouldn't have said that. He whips out his legal pad and he picked nits. He just was all over everything and he handed me a list of 53 items, as I remember, on a yellow legal pad just to tone me down some. And he handed that to me and he said, you remember this? You get tired of doing this kind of work? There's 93,000 guys in this company that'd like to have your job.
Have a nice day.
Okay. I got the idea that when I pulled my hand out of the bucket, there was no hand-shaped hole in the bucket. I'm just out of there. So, my orientation was work, get it done, and I would do whatever was necessary to make my store successful. I had a guy that couldn't handle putting groceries on a shelf, and his case count was always lousy, so I worked all night watching him. His nickname was Ironhead, so I knew there was something there. But old Ironhead, bless his heart, He was scared to death of dropping a jar of pickles on the floor, dropping a jar of relish on the floor. He was working in the glass aisle, and he was scared to death. I took him out of there. I put him in the soap aisle, and he's as happy as a clam. He'd throw those boxes in those plastic bottles, no problem. You did what it took. Would I help him? Did I work all night for his benefit? Absolutely not. Me. I got those trucks off the floor quicker than I could get the people out of that store quicker, and I wouldn't have to pay them as much. My requirement for wages would go down. I could cut back on the hours. We could have the trucks. It's all about me.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, it's not about me.
Right.
It's about the furtherance of somebody else. Now, if Christ is our life, we do that. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now the word if there is not a conditional if. The word if there is more like, if you were to rewrite the sentence, you might say, because you've been risen with Christ,
yeah,
then you seek the things which are above. It's not trying to get saved. It's a product of your salvation that's being dealt with here.
Yeah.
I think I illustrated that if I'm married to this lady here, if she likes what I say in the message, she will say,
Amen.
And if I don't, she'll say, oh me, right? But seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. The idea of my having the mind of Christ is not that I sit next to Jonah under my bush and wait for a Holy Ghost zap to change every attitude and predilection I built up in all those years. I need to learn it. I need to read it, believe it, and apply it.
Yes.
From a book that I believe. Now, Colossians chapter 3, ye are dead. I'm standing here. I may be having a near-death experience, but I'm not that near. Ye are dead. I wouldn't know that if I didn't read it. Hmm? 5 o'clock this afternoon, I shaved. Get rid of the 5 o'clock shadow, what little there might have been. You know, dead guys don't do that. So, I'm still corporal, I'm still walking around in this living hulk, but judicially, I need to understand some things. I need to understand that I'm dead, my life was hid with Christ in God. Wow! You thought you were in Riverside. Your life was hid with Christ in God. Do you see that? I wouldn't know that had I not been a Bible believer. That would not be information that I could add to my computer, that I could install in my inner man and remind myself of that material. Now, a key thing here, if you could look at Colossians 2, I don't believe this is in your notes. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? What does Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 say? You heard? What'd you hear? Word of truth. Which included the gospel of your salvation. You then trusted. What'd you trust? The word of truth. That's how. When you were saved, you heard the gospel of your salvation, which is a product of the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You trusted that.
Yeah.
That's how you walk, too. That's what Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says. the way you started, that still works. So I need to trust what I hear in the Word of Truth. Now, the Word of Truth is telling me some things in these passages that are not my life experience. I don't see myself seated in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. I'm in Xenia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Last one out of Xenia, turn out the lights. I don't see myself dead. But these verses tell me I need to understand some things about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about me. It's about Christ. That's where Colossians 3:3, my life is hid.
Right.
So Philippians is helping me get this mental understanding. I don't like to use the word mindset, but maybe that communicates. To get this in place so that I realize there are things that I would never have dreamed to ask of myself, thinking I'm totally incapable.
Yes.
I'm not up to this. Just as soon as I know I'm not up to this, I'm starting to get on the right track.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be His Word that works effectually in me.
That's right.
It's going to be the strengthened inner man that's different. It's right. Going to be the new creature.
Right.
That's produced by God's Word, rightly divided.
Right.
I won't get that at the 10-step program.
No.
So, rather than, as Robert Schuller wrote a book, The Self-Esteem Gospel, The Gospel of Self-Esteem, and denies the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
Just as we kind of worship ourselves in our society anymore.
Yes.
I laughed and I said to Carol, and nobody seems to understand it except my wife, and that doesn't speak well of her, I suppose. But it's not about me and my wife. It's about my space.
Oh,
and when I heard that on the internet, of course, and how people were so enamored with my space, I thought, that's exactly our society.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got my space, you got my space, your space, and you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. We have more social networking with less conversation.
Yes. Yes.
I get lots of emails as a product of radio broadcast or the website or such things as that. Rude? No, hi, how you doing? No salutations?
Mm-hmm.
Just send me this, do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose if they get over 140 characters, their vocabulary is gone. They can't speak in full sentences. Well, for whatever reason. I know that without Christ, I deserve to rot in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I know that what changed my destination is Christ, and that now I'm in Him. And what know ye not? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Some amazing things have happened by God's judiciary.
Yeah.
They're in place, and I'm supposed to learn what they are and operate accordingly. And Philippians is a powerful book of information to provide that kind of encouragement, that kind of information, that kind of help. I know that God's Spirit, whom I have not seen, placed me into the body of Christ, which I don't think I could define for you as to who's in and who isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has me set my affections on things above, where I've never been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And operate crucified with Christ, which physically I wasn't.
Yes.
Now, without joining Paul Youngie Cho and getting out there in the metaphysical and getting out there in Lululand, everything esoteric and everything, you know, is sit there and contemplate your belly button. There's a spiritual reality in all of this.
Yes.
I'd be wrong if I didn't pay attention to it. In Philippians chapter 2, when we have this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, I need to have a new mental discipline and understanding that I didn't have. I have said to you before, and I don't mean to be flippant about it, there came a day, and I hadn't been saved very long, when I knew intellectually that, as Yogi Berra would say, there's a fork in the road.
Yum.
Take it, right? That's what Yogi said. Come to the fork in the road, take it. There was, in what I was already early on perceiving in Christianity, an intellectual, esoteric, apologetics-oriented, agenda-driven, social justice of God, motherhood, and apple pie. It was that. And then there were these weird people over here. I said, let God be true and every man a liar.
Yes.
I knew I needed to intellectually make a decision about this book.
That's it.
Either it's right or it's not. If it's not, then we're all in the storytelling business.
Yep.
There it is.
If it is true, then we need to adhere to it as best we're able.
Yes.
That's what made a dispensationalist out of me, trying to adhere to it when it's contradictory in places.
Yes.
Rather than fix what isn't broke, because intellectually I'd already determined, let God be true. He told me in this book.
Yes.
He's true, every man's a liar.
Right.
I've known a lot of the every man. The Lord saved me when I was 36 years old.
Yeah.
The anniversary of that is coming up this Sunday. I will have been saved 32 years.
Yes.
This coming Sunday. I will have been on the radio 30 years this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. In the 36 unsaved years, I've met a lot of liars.
Yep.
I've met them in workplace. I've met them in business. I've met a lot of liars. Yep. It's kind of nice to know I could find truth someplace.
Yes.
What a concept, that God be true and every man a liar. So that was a conscious decision. And based on that conscious decision, I, by God's grace, have grown a bit in His Word. I understand a few more things. I can find a few more things in His Bible, and He's allowed me to grow and to do some things in these 3.2 decades since. My eternal life began when sperm met egg.
Right.
Your soul goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't evaporate. It doesn't annihilate.
That's right.
People see that word death and they think of a corpse. That's the body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Death to a soul, they're still talking. They're still busy. They're still doing things.
Yes.
My eternal life had a change of venue when I was saved by God's grace.
Yes.
Now I'm headed for heavenly places rather than the hell that I deserved. And I could have been one of those guys who said, well, I'd rather go to hell because that's where all my friends will be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no doubt I'd have been telling the truth. Isn't it interesting how God's Word can work effectually in you? And now, at this juncture today, I can look back to 32 years of being saved and serving the Lord and doing what little I'm able, as best I'm able, and thinking, wow, I've had something of a life with purpose. It wasn't simply about consuming products, selling things, and making money, which it had been previously.
Oh, yes.
So, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is something that we're capable of doing, the Bible tells us to. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, our lifestyle, our conversation, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you, Paul says, and whether I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I need to underline in our thinking the one mind in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We have the idea, particularly among immature people, in newly saved people, immature Christians, we have the idea that we should all embrace Rodney King theology. Can't we all just get along and have a conference in Orlando where everybody's right and nobody's wrong? The one mind here is not any other mind than the mind of Christ. So it's not, well, this guy thinks you're going to go through the tribulation, this guy thinks you're not, this guy thinks you're going to go halfway through. Can't we all just agree to disagree? No! One's right, one's wrong.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you make one mistake in this book, I'll promise you, it will bite you in 25 other verses, other places.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's right.
Because the scripture can't be broken, and there are cross references.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, a couple of weeks ago, ridiculed the people who say, oh, how I love Jesus, but they don't believe in the flood.
Yeah.
Jesus did.
Yeah.
You sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then you call him a liar over Jonah and the flood and the creation.
That's it.
That belief system and the belief system was an atheist or an agnostic are different in what way? I have a hard time putting a finger on it. So, I've got this one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. I know what that one mind needs to be if it's not mine. If I had an agenda, I need to get rid of it. I'll say this. By God's grace, and that's all it can be, people, when Carol or I would stumble on truth, we did the best we could to go by it. Yes, it looked like lunacy.
Yep.
When I'm throwing my living Bibles into the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ours was the only Christian bookstore, as far as I know, that wasn't church-owned. Mm-hmm. That sold only the King James Bible, no rock music. And when Amy Grant trots out there, she's going to go down to the river and get saved, she's out of the store.
Yep.
When John MacArthur says the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was not efficacious, he's out of the store.
Yep.
Just wacko. Knowing that truth's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
And even if 200 million people believe a lie, what they believe is still a lie.
It's still right.
I hate it when people say perception is reality.
No, it isn't.
Not really. Only to the deluded.
Yes.
So reality is reality, and God's reality is reality. I believe his book. So the one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, striving together with one mind. Grace believers working together to help people be saved by faith in the gospel.
Yes.
The mind of Christ involves that kind of business. Now, in Christianity, in mid-Acts dispensational Christianity, there are a lot of messages that can be taught and can be preached and ought to be, but the priorities should never stray far from souls saved and saints edified.
That's right.
Getting the gospel to people and them becoming saved, and then those people being equipped to study the Bible for themselves, what better thing could happen to them than for them to be independent under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, capable of handling that book?
Yes.
Without anybody coming along and saying, no, 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 no. Learning the material and operating with the material. We've got a message that isn't that hard to get, but the ripple effects and ramifications from what you've gotten can be years in the understanding.
That's
because it permeates every verse of Scripture and every worldview and everything that you have or think. So, It's not difficult. I mean, couldn't you say it in about 10 words? Your marching orders come from Paul?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't take the basics of mid-acts dispensationalism. I mean, you could just distill it down to a fine poison rather than a 180-page book. But when you learn that, when you find out Paul's your apostle and he's the source of your doctrine, wow. The impact of that on every other page of the Bible is stunning.
Yes.
That takes years to work through. Don't get the cart before the horse. Learn the material. Get settled and grounded. So, we're to do that. We're to have the one mind. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort and love, if any fellowship, one spirit of my bowels and mercies, we're, Philippians 2, 2, fulfill ye my joy, be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That just knocks the socks right off the everybody's right, nobody's wrong mentality.
Amen.
The difference between that and ecumenicism and egalitarianism is zero. We're to have one mind. It's not my mind. It's not who can talk the loudest. It's the mind of Christ that we're
Amen.
At. Okay?
Yes.
So, Philippians helps me to learn how to think. Now, Carol might tell you I'm a big thinker. And make it sound like stinker, but the discipline that our minds need is something our minds aren't very good at.
Right.
We need God's Word to work effectually in us. I, of my own volition, am, and why don't I just admit it, I'm not capable of setting my affections on things above. If I didn't have this book, I wouldn't know there was anything up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to college, and you go to work, and you learn a bunch of stuff, and you get saved, and it turns out everything you learned is pointless.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then I've got this vacuum. I know what's wrong. I need to know what's right.
Yes.
Philippians is a big help in that regard about learning the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that's not telling me that I should lust after Jim's Buick. Pretty little Buick, isn't it?
Yes.
Huh? And so I'm minding his things. Where you got the keys there, brother?
I feel led of the Lord to go for a ride.
It's not that. It's not covetousness. It's not avarice. It's matter. It's more the matter of how can I be a service? How can I help with the mind of Christ? How can I help get us all on the same page? What can I do? As a babe, I needed to learn the material. As an elder, I need to teach the material.
Amen.
We're all at various stages of growth. Now, in Philippians, it's not about me, chapter 2, verse 4. Not about me building a resume, a dossier. It's not about that. A young lady emailed me today about she was studying something in the Bible, and she it dawned on her that people really had the wrong idea that Jesus is in me and Jesus is telling me what to do and Jesus is leading me here and there. And it's coming through to her that that's not exactly where we are.
Yeah.
And she wants to know, isn't that a problem if the devil is the god of this world? And she's putting some things together and doing a nice job of it.
Yeah.
So I had the opportunity to give her half a dozen or so verses and to explain a couple of things to her and encourage her that the most important thing we'll do as a believer after salvation is to believe this book and have it instruct us as to who God has made us in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And then act accordingly.
Yes.
So, what a joy that was. What I was doing there was looking at the things that she was thinking. Mm-hmm. And supplementing them with verses that maybe she hadn't put together in this context. Mm-hmm. That's a privilege. And every day is a day of opportunity to do that kind of thing. If I didn't have the worldly situation that I do, if tomorrow I'm in an old folks home in my wheelchair because I've had a brain aneurysm and can't do my tells, it's my job in everything to give thanks.
Yes.
And it won't be easy while you're drooling. It's my job, whatever state I'm in, to therewith be content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's my job to round up the old folks in the nursing home and tell them what I know.
Yes, that's it.
We evaluate one another by stocks and bonds and cars and chrome. Mm-hmm. And that's not it.
No.
But only the mind of Christ teaches you that that's not it. And you only get that out of this book because you won't get it in the typical church system.
No.
Half of them are there to sell Amway to the other half of them that are there to sell insurance.
Yep.
Right. And Avon sells to everybody.
Yeah.
And they're there because there's a group coming in and they pay $3 for a ticket and it's entertainment and whatever reason. My life hid with Christ in God, setting my affections on things above, never would have occurred to me.
No.
Wouldn't happen. Why? Without a Bible, somebody said, you're a Christian now, I'd know, probably ought to cut back on the beer and not cuss so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I would evaluate it the way the world evaluates things.
Yeah.
The world's pretty churchy these days.
Oh, yeah.
The church gets worldly and the world gets churchy.
Yeah.
And how it is.
People of faith.
People of faith, whatever that is. The orientation that's forced upon me by the mind of Christ is totally different from anything that I ever would have dreamed up on my own. And I'm getting a lot of that, and we're getting a lot of this, aren't we, from the book of Philippians. The Philippians chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. We talked about that last time, and I underlined in our thinking at least the word all. The layman serving under a bishop is wrong thinking.
Yes.
We're all members one of another.
Yes, we are.
Some have been down the road longer and are more experienced, and you call those elders and you respect them for the work's sake. Timothy talks about double, Paul talks to Timothy about their meriting double honor. I understand that. But it's not that they become a different class of Christianity. We're still all members one of another. We're still all one in Christ.
Yes.
So I need to learn how to think. You realize how off-putting that was early on? I've read all of Hemingway, I've read all of Shakespeare, I've read all of Dostoevsky, I've read Tolstoy, I read Turgenev, read all of Ayn Rand. Fairly well read guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lord saves my soul, you know what that's worth? Real close to nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anything as I ought to.
That's it.
Oh! I'm running companies.
Yeah.
I don't know anything as I ought to. I got friends that are millionaires several times over. I don't know anything as I ought to. Good thing I found that out.
Yes.
Good thing, by God's grace and by His Word and by His Spirit, I believe this book, which then gives the book, gives God's Word opportunity to work effectually in me in the spirit of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. So then I am open to the information that constitutes the mind of Christ.
Yes, yes.
That is not a natural activity.
No.
Now I'm going to not make it some float around the room hoodly doodly either. Yes, it's a spiritual activity, but the Holy Ghost of God operated in me by His Word.
Yes.
By His Spirit.
Yes.
It wasn't anything separate from this book, Rightly Divided.
That's right.
It's here. Thank God for every day of opportunity. Now, Philippians chapter 3, speaking of the power of His resurrection in verse 10, and the fellowship of His sufferings. I don't know where you were before the Lord saved you, but nail Him to the cross and recognize the power of His resurrection.
Yes.
There are Christians who, before they were saved, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with them back in the day.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Carol goes, yuck. You wouldn't want to be around him.
No.
In that sleazy bar in Georgia. Were he today to be saved, that gets nailed to the cross.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We're done with that.
Yes.
You want to tell me about it? I don't want to hear about it. When I go down to the prison, the guys would like to tell me what they did. I don't want to hear about it.
No.
All I care to know about you is Christ Jesus and Him crucified.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Are you saved? What's your life been like since you got saved? That I'm interested in.
Exactly.
So, the power of His resurrection. I've come to understand a great deal about that. And the fellowship of His sufferings. He was accused of being a liar.
Yep.
A false demagogue. They killed him for it.
Yep.
Don't you expect much better?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to burst your balloon and throw cold water on your parade, but if the Lord Jesus Christ walked into downtown Dayton right now, well, not downtown Dayton, that's empty. If He were to walk, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to walk into some place where there's people still, they'd be going to the hardware to get a hammer and nails even now.
Yes.
Because unrighteousness feels condemnation in the presence of righteousness and resents it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They've got their religion. Who does He think He is? We'll have Barabbas. He's one of us.
Yes.
Nothing would have changed much. Our life, it's no longer our life.
That's it.
Our life is hid with God, with Christ and God. We're the new creature that God made us. We're the ambassador that God made us. We're the soldier that God made us. When Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, to me to live is Christ, I need to learn about that.
Yeah.
Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, verse 5, I need to learn about that. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, I need to know about that. And chapter 4, verse 13, whatever happens, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I need to learn about that.
Yeah.
So Philippians, yes, it's a book of much encouragement. Yes, it's a book where Paul is getting these people back on track to being more Pauline and better in their doctrine. No question about that. It's a book of reproof. Yet, I don't want us to miss personal application of the doctrines that are going to come from this book as we learn what is this business of the mind of Christ, as we learn what it means to live is Christ.
Yes.
So, hopefully, that will add to our orientation. And we'll dig into the verse by verse, no doubt, next time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.